From 9 to 5, right?
Yeah, well, I think we need to include Coulter and Shane.
Like to welcome everybody out to the city council meeting tonight. Sorry we're a little late. February 8th, 6:30, regular meeting. We're going to start tonight with a pledge allegiance. Let Sam lead us in the pledge allegiance and Rondi with the opening prayer.
Everybody please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our dear Father in heaven, we give thee thanks to be able to assemble together as a council and as a community to discuss the affairs of this city. We pray that we may pray for that guidance and to do what is best for the residents that call this place home and for the future of this land. At this time, we pray that we may have a blessing of snow on our mountains. We may have sufficient water for our needs this summer, for our farmers, and for our own yards and gardens. We pray that protection will be upon us and this community. And we pray under the name of faith, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
All right, roll call.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Rondi.
Here.
Sam.
Here.
Okay. Next item is approval of minutes of the January 11th, 2022 regular city council meeting held at 6:30. Has any questions? I've reviewed these minutes and
I'll make a motion to approve these minutes for our city council meeting held January 11th, 2022 at 6:30 p.m.
I'll second it. Okay, the motion by Rondi, seconded by Paul to approve the minutes for the January 11th, 2022 regular city council meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is our January 25th, 2022 regular city council meeting held at 6:30. Minutes from that one.
Question. I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes for 25 January 2022 at 6:30 regular meeting.
I'll second that motion by Russell. Okay, the motion by Russell and seconded by Rondi to approve the January 25th, 2022 regular city council meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item is approval of adjustments, transaction register dated 1-1 of 2022 to 1-31 of 2022 in the dollar amount of negative 160.67 cents. There's more and more of that meters.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve the transaction register 1-1-2022 to 1-31-2022 in the amount of negative $160.67.
I got, okay, the motion by Paul and seconded by Russell to approve the transaction register dated 1-1 of 2022 to 1-31 of 2022 in the dollar amount of a minus $160.67. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rodney.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Next is approval of claims register dated 1-22-22 to 2-2 of 2022 in the dollar amount of $239.693.04.
Only suggestion I make that I see is, and not to make it sound bad, but it is kind of, it's very pricey, is buying batteries like an 8-pack AA for $20 from hardware store.
I think I need to send out an email to everyone, because we've been buying batteries.
Because we can get them for, I mean, a case of them for dirt cheap, so I mean, like I say, I'm not trying to sound nitpicky, but I mean, $20 for 8 batteries is kind of...
To watch it, we're ridiculous.
A little high price.
I've got a suggestion. Has anybody talked to them out there to see if they could give us some kind of a rate?
We have in the past. I know we have in the past.
A little discount, yeah.
Okay.
That's just fine. I know we get it a lot cheaper from other places, but it's part of batteries.
I've got one question. Who is Amazon Capital Services?
That's our Amazon account. This city has an Amazon Prime account that's used to tax and order.
Okay. That's why I see so many different kinds of items. Okay.
Sweet things up a little bit. Any other comments? I don't have anything. I've been over.
Want to make a motion?
I'll make the motion. Approve invoice register dated 1-22-2022 for 2-2-2022 in the amount of $239,693.04.
I'll second that motion. Okay, got the motion by Sam and seconded by Rondi to approve claim register dated 1-22-22 to 2-2-22. Yeah, a lot of twos there. In the dollar amount of $239,693.04. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Okay, next is a requisition number 208-20-22-12-33 to Owens Equipment on the back truck repair of $20,942.73. I've got two here.
Well, has this been fixed yet, or is it in the works?
They're sitting up there waiting until I got it approved.
What? I mean, there's a whole list.
Why do you have to
what exactly?
So, the main thing that happened to them were the full assembly in the tank and the pump in the tank. So, the fill in the tank for a hydraulic system. Okay. So, that's the main thing that sent it in for us. So, we need to go through this stuff and put cleaning back up. It's not, it's been used. This is what the list they come back with, which they recommended we fix on the truck.
My question, I guess, is, I mean, that's a good chunk of change. Is it worth fixing that or worth getting the price of a trade-in on an older, I mean, a newer but older truck, not brand new? I mean, it's quite a bit older. It's had a lot of use. It's
2001.
And it's not super old, but it is, I mean, it's got a lot of hours, a lot of use on it.
Do we have the, you know, what the used one is now, newer one?
I think.
They're a lot.
They're fairly pricey, depending what you get, how big you get, and different features, but.
No, you use it a lot, don't you?
Yeah, it's used a ton, so, I mean, it is a very reliable truck.
It's used a lot, but I looked through the list on this and as old as it is, 2001, why has a lot of this stuff not been done to it in-house?
Honestly, because I don't work on back trucks. They're very, a lot of the stuff's very specific within the truck itself. Some of it's not like a tachometer. We could replace that. We got smashed out.
I look at it, it looks to me like there's probably 80% of it that could have been done in the past. Just take some maintenance on it.
Well, I think it boils down to what kind of I was going to bring up later is the maintenance as far as a mechanic.
Yeah.
I honestly think the city needs a mechanic separate from public works. It just does strictly mechanics.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
I think.
We got our own mechanic now through that does all of our stuff.
I mean, I really think that they,
I agree.
You know, I think he just needs to, you know, like I said, I don't think he needs to be pulled away from different jobs. I think he needs to stay directly as a mechanic. But,
yeah,
you know,
agree.
I mean, that's something we'll talk about later, but.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
So the big chunk of this is that pump, which was $9,500.
The hydraulic?
Yeah.
And then there's the filter elements.
Yeah, I think you're looking at the retail labor, $7,000.
The labor. It's not, is it not functioning right now at all, though?
No.
How long is it going to take to fix it?
That I don't know.
What do you guys charge per hour to get it?
$80 an hour for that truck to come out.
Something else we
have
to look at.
That's cheap. I think you're looking at $120 if you hire a private.
Well, I think, and I don't know, Kevin, would you would maybe know, question. City can't charge private rates. We have to go like off of the state rate, right?
Yeah, it would be a state.
Because that's, I know originally when we, it's been a long time ago, but that's what we did. I called our rates off of
it.
Yeah. So it probably just needs to be adjusted. I don't think we can do that private. Just need to go to the state. I'll have to remember. I know there's a state website. On their website, you can go in and list all the equipment they have, the back trucks, the whole nine. It's all there.
Okay.
The back holes, track holes, they have all that listed on the rate. So.
Well, anyway, that's what we need to do for your equipment.
Oh yeah, we've been looking at that and our connection keys. So for this next coming.
So what do you want to do, Sam? You want to table this for tonight?
Yeah. Well, I hate prolonging it if it's down. I mean,
is it set up to the mechanic shop now or?
Yeah, it's in Salt Lake.
Oh, so it's in Salt Lake already. What you just wait and bake.
I'm wondering if we did put this $20,000 into it, if that would increase the trade-in value, if it would be worth it.
It may. I mean, it may be worth, yeah, I mean, maybe that's the best option, to fix it now and have it fixed, and then just look at what it would cost to replace
it. Can you get online and see if there's something out there, you know, used ones that look pretty good?
Generally, the place that fix them, they're the dealer, and so they usually have a lot of used ones that come in and different stuff from different cities, different entities, and usually that's what this was, is loader one of us.
I know we need it. We definitely need the truck.
So.
I did approve it.
Yeah.
You know, Lynn made a comment to me, why we can't get a decent truck and go in partners with Spring City or Moroni or something, you know.
So they could help, yeah, because this is ridiculous.
It's good, but then it also boils down to the nightmares of sometimes the maintenance.
Scheduling.
And scheduling.
Well, we could work around that, you know, and I mean...
Well, we've got the same thing with the air compressor. Well, the compressor we have, but it's that we bought, it's a mobile, but same thing. We're only got more than anybody now.
And you need it, and they got it, and then you gotta go get it.
And so I'm not against it, I just, there is some hiccups.
For us to keep a truck like that, you know, the expense of that, we just had it in the shop last year, too.
And then I don't know, the other thing that gets into on a truck is insurance. Who's gonna carry the insurance? Does all three cities have to carry insurance on it?
Do you lease it out to the other cities by then?
We don't, that's the problem, we don't.
But...
Supposedly had a trailer, but all that we've got...
We've gone and helped them a little bit here and there and charged them, and we have billed them for it, for what we've done, what we've done.
So my office, I'll turn to Sharon, doing a co-op with equipment. So it goes to Fairview and gets broke down, or they beat on it, and then it comes back, and then it breaks down on us. Who's gonna pay the bill?
Well, it turns into an argument of it.
You obviously would want, you can do it, you would wanna do some sort of contract beforehand that would signify...
Every hour uses, yeah. Yeah, it'd be, you'd have to do a complex.
It's doable, but you just want a contract.
Well, make sure everybody's certified and operated.
Oh, do we?
I guess that, in my opinion, I guess we just move forward with getting it fixed.
We have to one for ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, we have to get this one fixed regardless.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we need to get our rates up toward the meeting.
And I'll make a motion that we approve requisition 208-2022-1233 for repairs on the back truck in the amount of $20,942.73.
I'll second.
Okay, a motion by Russell, seconded by Paul, to approve requisition 208-2022-1233 to Owens Equipment for $20,942.73. Roll call.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Will.
Yes.
Rodney.
Yes.
Yeah.
There hasn't been taken care of.
Okay, that's the only requisition, right?
Yes.
Okay. Next, Ashley Earl. Discussion action requesting to hook into the city water line from outside the city limits.
I only made one copy, so I just need you guys to pass this, but here's the flat map. And then I just have like a general area of where it's at, just gets like zoomed out. I'm sure you're all familiar with where it's at. So it's 1065 East and 35 North across the street from Dom and Trish Gibson. It's an acre and a half that we're planning to buy, but we just want to make sure that we can connect to city water. I was told that all of the houses up there are on city water except for the Christiansons that they're on the well. And it's my understanding that everyone up there is on a septic tank, but I wanted to just talk to you guys about that while we're here too.
Yeah, Deb's right there.
Does everyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, it's on the...
So are you proposing west, Donna?
North.
North.
North, right across, so right by...
Yeah, so Jim's...
We have a water...
So east of him or west of him?
East.
I think we have a water...
To the north of Christiansen.
Okay.
It's just north of Christiansen, across the lane there.
Yeah.
So the daddy sell that?
Yeah. Well, not yet.
Not yet.
Maybe.
Working on it.
Ashley?
Dan...
Fire hydrant. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Dan.
Yeah, there is a fire hydrant, so we know the city water is high.
Yeah, there is.
Dan, I don't...
How far are we talking, Coker?
Yeah.
How far are we talking? Hey, George, it's all right.
It's in the buffer zone, so...
It's about 500 feet.
What size of water mains up that way? Water main, what size?
Six inch, yeah.
I would say it's a no-brainer.
Well,
And on these, I don't know why, I guess they're, this is my take on them, is depending where they're at. But, I mean, if they ain't got to run a water line or anything, if it's in that buffer zone, I don't know why Coulter can't make this decision. And between Coulter and Mayor, you know, in all honesty, I mean, to me, if the water is already there.
Well, the trouble is we've turned down some others lately outside the city limits because of our, not selling any water to anybody outside the city limits because of our water shortage.
How far outside the city limits?
Are they in the buffer zone, and that was their other stuff?
They were out of the buffer zone.
That's the difference. That's what I'm saying. If it's in the city buffer zone and there's water there and it has a water main, I don't know why we wouldn't give it me.
Well, I'm saying before that we kind of put a stop to it all because not knowing what our well would do and stuff, we were panicking.
Right.
So.
But I personally don't have an issue with it.
So the water main is right there.
It's on the north side.
The sewer's about 600 feet away.
You're quite a ways away from sewer.
The sewer's on Ninth East, so.
No.
It's not.
It's on Main Street.
It's on Main Street.
In Ninth East. But then the only place it goes from there is it's behind the homes on Ninth East on the west side of all them homes.
So you'd be fine if it was just a septic?
Yeah. Everybody else up there is on septic.
It's over the 300 feet?
Yeah.
But there's the option to connect the city sewer, right?
If you're 100 feet, we can require it. But if you're over that, then we don't.
Unless you guys chose to put it in.
If you chose to put it in, it would be under your expense to do it.
But it's optional. So
right, right.
There's a couple more things I wanted to talk to you about while we're here. The impact fees, those would still be city impact fees, right? Because it would be city water and city power. Which is how much, do you guys know? Do you need to know?
Power's around 4,000, depending on what size of service.
Water's what? 50, 45, so I think it's water.
So that's 10. Is that hookup fees or?
Impact
fees. Well, your connection fee would be, and your connection fee would be like around.
Whatever size you run.
We didn't have them for a long time.
Yeah. And then I heard the other day it was 15,000.
Well, it's in from city, 22,000.
Do you guys have any idea if that'll ever be annexed in? I was trying to look and it looked like 2004 was the last time you guys annexed, not you guys, but the city.
I mean, I'm sure down the road it eventually would, but.
We're just curious because it's like 1.48 and I called the county and they said that we can't build on anything smaller than an acre because it's in the buffer zone. And we were just thinking if we ever decided we wanted to split it, it would have to be in city limits. But we're fine with it as it is too. We're just curious.
I guess a big point would be how many people petition to annex it in up there. I mean, really.
It's not what it would take.
Yeah.
Enough people to petition to, okay.
I mean, if we did it any sooner other than that, unless the city's really growing and expanding, then that'd be the other option, but.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of people living up there that purposely live in the county. They don't want to be annexed.
Right.
It's been talked about quite a few times over the last 10 years. That's but why they're in the county.
Those homes up there are on city water too.
Yeah.
Right?
And power.
Above.
Yeah.
And then the road, obviously that's county road.
That's county road. Okay.
Yeah. Unless it's ever annexed in.
Yep, correct.
Okay. So did you guys?
Well, I think if the water main's there and the hydrant's there, it's.
Yeah, it's not right wrong. Yeah.
So.
No, neither.
Okay.
Discussion action. Do we need to
make a motion? Make a motion and.
I'll make a motion that we let
the Earls line for the Earls.
We let the Earls hook into the city water line, or our city employees make the hookup to your property.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Okay, motion by Paul, seconded by Lynn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
And just mention in your notes that it's due to the fact that it's in the buffer zone with the water already there. Just so that where you're talking, the other ones we said no to, there is that difference.
We'll have to provide you a letter to the county.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
And there has been discussion of annexation in that area before.
And we talked about city shops and that too being annexed in clear in the county.
We were curious.
That may come up again.
Okay.
So if you do purchase the property, just let City Hall know, and then we'll get with Colter and I will get with you, and we'll correlate all that stuff out with you.
As far as the lottery?
Yeah.
The county actually has a form that they give you to bring in prices.
Yeah.
Before you do go to that.
Yes. Thanks.
Hey, are you Gail's boy? Dave's good.
Want some more?
Sure. I don't have my lemon on sugar, but.
I still got some, I'm good.
Get in there, get some more. Sugar.
I was thinking same.
Another exciting.
Earlier, I'm looking at the.
Jeff. Already.
Thank you very much for letting me take a few minutes. I just want to take a few minutes this evening and give you some words of encouragement and maybe a little, a few suggestions, just my opinions on things. I've done this before. One of the things I noticed was I was on the city website and I was kind of wondering why we've taken off the putting the city agendas on the website so we could pull it off there and bring it down.
I don't have to post it in two places by law. I mean, you can go on to the, I provide the link, that's all I'm required to do.
Yeah, I get that. I just think it would be nice to still post the city agenda along with, by the way, I would suggest, which is going to take a little bit of work, quarterly, possibly the budget that the public can review right online and see what's going on and what's being spent and can look at that themselves. And I know that it's only required to post the agenda from the state side, but the state side is a little bit more difficult to do. When she was putting it on the city site, I could pull up real quick, print it out right there, that quick. The city site, or not states, not the city site, the state site takes more, it's just a little more complicated to pull the information off. I mean, it's not bad. It's just extra work, and I just want to suggest that, I know it's more, a little more work, Gino, and he has all kinds of things to do, I know that, but it's just nice to be able for the public to have that kind of access that easy. And seems to be that if it's fairly difficult to do, people shy away from it. And I just think it's a nice little extra effort. On to a little bit of encouragement, I wanted to go ahead and encourage our new city council, especially our new members, to, and anybody that hasn't done yet, to get trained. ULCT offers trainings. I'm sure that's probably been talked about.
They would have had it.
They're very, they're awesome things to attend. They help us learn our responsibilities where we know what we're doing. One of the things that David Church mentions in the ULCT training book is one of the biggest problems in a city council and a form of government is not knowing what their responsibilities are and where one stops and one starts. And it causes problems all over the place. And so I want to encourage you, if you have the opportunity to do that, I also want to encourage, if you can, to study the Robert's Rules of Order. I'm going to make a crack about this. I notice we are, despite this seventh chair sitting here, we are a six-member registered city council with the state, not seven. Our city council governs this town. Our mayor is chief executive officer of this town. Robert's Rules of Order is really important to keeping proper respect and order in a meeting. And I know I actually like our laid-back way that we do things, I really do, but sometimes it can get out of hand and meetings drag on when they shouldn't. If you've ever attended a delegate meeting, And I don't know how many of you have, but I got to watch a very strict Robert's Rules of Order delegate meeting run up in Salt Lake area that had over 5,000 people attending. And if they hadn't had, you could clearly see why that's important to have order in a meeting, because it can get way out of hand so quickly. And you know, we don't have those problems here per se usually. Everybody's usually pretty respectful, but it helps in the meeting. And quickly, I wanted to read, if I can see this well enough, here's some advice as city council members given to us from ULCT, and just take it as a grain of salt. He says, all elected officials are worthy of respect, even those ones dumb enough to disagree with you. It is unfair to expect members of the public to know what you know or understand what you tell them. Your job description does not include the phrase, full credit, no blame. Win graciously. Accept your losses and move on. Enjoy correcting your own mistakes as much as you do others. Praise in public and reprimand in private. Do your own job first. Always assume others are acting in good faith. And then finally, I just want to say, if you can, read the Constitution. Study the Constitution. Learn what that means as proper role of government. And there's really, even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints now is offering a Sunday school class of 9 classes on the Constitution. It's online. Very simple thing to listen to. There's a, I can't remember what his name is, but it's just basically a professor that's giving you some things to think about in studying the Constitution. And then, of course, I've said this before, but Hillsdale College has online classes that are free. Hillsdale College is one of the most well-known teachers of a college, professors of the Constitution worldwide. Well, not worldwide, nationwide, because we're one of the few with a republic. So I just wanted to recommend that. I really appreciate the time, and congratulations on our new councilman, and I hope you guys do a good job this year.
Thanks, very good. You.
Next on our agenda is the annual open and public meeting acts training by Kevin. Seems like we just done this, I think. A year rolls around quick.
Yes, it does.
Council Benning here, I just figured with the new council.
I know. Yes.
It's better to get it done now than to wait until December anyhow. So we have the Open Meetings Act, and essentially the whole idea behind it is conducting the public's business in public. It's a pretty simple concept, although it's often violated. So it's important to keep that in mind, that we exist by we, meaning you guys, the public body, exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business. Okay? So first we'll talk about notice. You have to have your location, emergencies, record keeping, enforcement, and then the conduct of the meeting. So that's kind of what we'll cover. Notice, you have to provide at minimum a 24-hour notice. Must be posted in 2 prescribed places and include an agenda. This is something she usually does an excellent job at, getting those out there. The only exception to that, and we'll get a little bit more to that, is emergency meetings. So for example, if you had an earthquake, that would mean that you guys could meet without having that 24-hour requirement, although they tell you to get it out as soon as you can. Obviously, if there's an earthquake or even a water main break or something like that, you need to tend to that first, but get that out as soon as you can. The places for notice can either be the Utah Public Notice website. Citizens can receive automatic updates. There's a central repository for that. You can send them in a newspaper of general circulation. We really don't have too many newspapers, local newspapers of general circulation, but you can post those in those places. This is where you're at now. You need to publish an annual meeting schedule. It's required for public bodies that hold regular meetings. That means you guys. You need to publish in the same manner as for the meeting. So if you use the public notice website, you should use the public notice website for your annual. Basically, the idea is so people can know the place where they can go to get the annual list and then the bi-weekly list. So public bodies are encouraged to develop and use additional electronic means to provide notice of their meetings. So that's where you could put it on your website. You could put it in another place. It's not a requirement, but you can do that. So you can post it on your website, post it on your door if you have one, on the bulletin board, or if you have like a Facebook page or Instagram or any of that kind of stuff, you can post them there too. Not required, but it is officially encouraged by the statute. Your notice must include an agenda and has to be with reasonable specificity. So you can't just put, well, we're going to talk about taxes. You know, if you're talking about a RAP tax, you need to put that on there specifically that you're going to discuss, potentially vote on a RAP tax issue. The whole idea, again, it's common sense. The Open and Public Meetings Act is just common sense. If you would want to put enough detail on there that somebody from the public could look at it and, oh, I care about this issue, I want to come to the public meeting. Or, I like taxes, but RAP taxes aren't my thing, I don't want to really come to the meeting. And so that's why you have to be specific about what's on your agenda. You have to include the date, the time, the place. If it's an electronic meeting, you need to have instructions that they can log on, whether it's through WebEx or Zoom or any of those. So you need to have a way that they can access that. And then the agenda. Again, the agenda is reasonable specificity to notify the public as to topics to be considered at the meeting. What that means is, for example, an example would be to review and possible decision on a 2022 proposed sports changes for Mount Pleasant Recreation Department. And then even list the sports again. If you're talking about a change to the baseball, you know, because, you know, I coach baseball and football, but I don't care about soccer, so I'm not going to show up to a city meeting about soccer. And so that's why they want you to be specific. Need to hyperlink the agenda where possible so the public can find staff reports, web pages, or any materials relevant to that particular topic. So if you're discussing the budget, you could have a link. That's not required, but it's encouraged. The location. So it may be electronic if the public is able to participate. You have to pass a resolution, rule, or ordinance governing the use of electronic meetings. You may dispense with the anchor location if the chair makes a written determination every 30 days about substantial risk to the health and safety of those who may be present with specific facts and data. That kind of was put in actually recently with the whole coronavirus thing, but you don't have to do it. Probably the most commonly violated area of OPMA is the regarding the conduct of meetings, open and closed meetings, when you're required. You're never required to go into a closed session, ever. Obviously, there are reasons why you would that make logical sense, but you're never required. So if you're ever wondering and you can't get a hold of me, I would encourage you to probably have it open. A meeting, so this is the legal definition, is a convening of a public body with a quorum present, including a workshop or executive session, for the purpose of discussing, receiving comments from the public about, or acting upon a matter over which the public body has jurisdiction or advisory power. So certainly things like the budget. If you're going to discuss anything budgetary or discussing the public funds, that only under limited circumstances can be closed. So the types of meetings which must be noticed, traditional meetings, obviously, workshops, executive sessions, unless closed properly pursuant to the statute, site visits, and traveling tours. What is not a meeting? The meeting does not mean a chance gathering or social gathering. So even the 4th of July or you know, your 24th celebration or whatever it is, if you run into each other, that's not a public meeting. Now, if four of you get together and start discussing the sewer project, that's got to be a public meeting.
back up when you said the site visit.
Yeah.
So that doesn't have to be posted if we used to go do the site visit?
So it needs to be posted that you're going to do. And so that, those are things that have to be noticed.
Okay.
Right. So yeah, you would notice the site visit, and then if you were going to vote on something later, you would come back here.
Yep. To vote on it, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep.
No, it has to be noticed. Okay. Location, things like that. What else is not a meeting? So like a reception with appetizers for your local business leaders, that's not a, you know, kind of an open house trying to attract some businesses or whatever. That's not a public meeting. So, but that also means you can't start talking about like economic incentives and things of that nature, especially if there's a quorum present. So what's a quorum? A quorum means the simple majority of the membership. A quorum does not include a meeting of two elected officials by themselves when no action, either formal or informal, is taken. What about discussing during a meeting? Is that a public meeting?
Discussing during this meeting, yes.
Yeah.
There's three up here, two up there.
That's another thing. The key things are what is it? It's the who, what, why, where, when, how, right? If you're discussing any type of city business that deals with dispensing public funds or making a decision, then it is. But say two of you got together and you were concerned about sewer expansion. I just made that up. But you know what I mean? At that point, it's actually not a public meeting because of the number, and you're discussing something generally, not necessarily, let's go expand out on 500 West. Once you start getting more specific, and hey, we should get some federal grants, things like that. If there's three of you, then you start getting into that public meeting category. Because nothing would prevent you from meeting with individual citizens about a particular issue, you know, getting information, doing all of that type of stuff. Even if there were two of you, you know, say one of you is over culinary water and one's over irrigation, and you met with a citizen that's concerned about water, that's still not a public meeting and you're okay to discuss stuff. It's the number and what you're discussing. Discussions outside of meetings. So it's okay to forward pertinent information to one another. So say you had me look at a legal issue that you wanted me to look at, you know, like the deer stuff or something like that. Say I emailed you something, there's nothing wrong with you forwarding that information on to everybody else. Or if you had a question for Coulter, he answered you an email and you wanted to send it to everybody else. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's encouraged to kind of spread that type of information. So an example would be a text from somebody to the city council concerning a new COVID idea. That's fine to forward that all on to everybody else and to discuss it. Information dissemination is different than group text comments and conversations. So be careful about creating a group chat or a group text where you're frequently discussing things. That's a little bit different than information dissemination. Right? If you're on a group text and you say, hey, Kevin just sent me an email, I'm going to forward it to each of you, that's information dissemination. But if you started engaging in a lengthy discussion about the budget through a group text, that's a no-no. That needs to be done in the public meeting. You know, and it's okay to maintain group camaraderie and sharing jokes and cat videos and whatnot, but it just can't be about public business. You want to send that stuff, knock yourselves out. It's discussing the public's business. Okay, as we talked earlier, emergency meetings, it must be due to unforeseen circumstances. Like I said, natural disasters, water main breaks, things of that nature. Let's see, it requires the best notice practicable. It cannot be held unless an attempt has been made to notify all members of the public body and a majority of the members approve the meeting. That still can be done over a group text. You could say, you know, are you guys in favor of having this meeting? We had the water main break. I think we really need to meet on it. And if you guys were all in favor of that, then you would set the meeting, the agenda, everything like that. All right, closed meetings. So you can't notice a closed meeting in advance, or you can go into a closed meeting from an open meeting following procedure, taking the vote, proper record keeping, things of that nature. So for example, if an issue comes up in the middle of the city council and it meets all the other qualifications, then you can go in. You guys have gone into closed sessions before and And I try to make myself available for on-the-fly questions about that kind of stuff as to when to go into.
Kevin, as far as that, I've noticed some of the other cities have that on their agenda regardless of whether they have one planned. Is that a good idea? Like you're saying,
the problem
that they think they need to go into a closed session, but it's not on the agenda.
If you know that something's going to be on there, I would put it on there with specificity to the level that you can without talking about what exactly is going on. So, for example, if you know that you're going to redo the city's security measures, you can put on there a closed meeting to discuss city security, right? So if you know ahead of time, I would even put it on with that level of specificity as opposed to closed meeting.
Well, that to me just makes me think that there's opportunity to do. It's not very open, let me put it that way. And if you have it permanently on there that you could possibly have a cold meeting every time, that just seems a little non-open to me. I personally think it'd be better just if you know what's going to happen and then put it on your
agenda. If you know what's going to happen, I would encourage you to put it on there. Obviously, you don't want to put, we're going to discuss the character and competency of Jeannie Tejada on there, but you can say we're going to discuss the character and competency of a city employee, something of that, or we're going to discuss potential purchase of real estate without getting into what the real estate is, where it's at, the value. It's going to be pretty rare that you're going to want to go into a closed meeting right on the fly from the city council. In fact, I don't know if I've ever seen one in the 10 years I've been doing this. So I would always encourage you to be open and to get as much information as you can. So I agree with you. There's no legal impediment to that. I mean, you can still do it.
I think he from City has it on there all the time.
In my opinion, it might send the wrong signal to everybody, in my opinion.
We moved away from that at the county. We used to do it that way, but we moved more to this listing because, like I said, almost always we know at least a week in advance that we're going to be discussing something of a particular nature.
But you need to do that far, huh?
Yeah. So that's what I would encourage you to do. Legally, you don't have to. So the procedure for closing meeting, quorum must be present. A motion to close the meeting must be made, naming the specific statutory reason for closure. Now, that's not saying you need to say, according to Utah Code annotated, it's we're closing this meeting to discuss a potential purchase of land and its attendant contract. That's what it's meaning, because that's one of the reasons why you can close the meeting. You have to have a roll call vote.
Do you have to have a second?
Yes.
You have to have a second too, right?
Yep, correct. So, must be a roll call vote. 2/3 of the body must approve to close the meeting. You have to observe appropriate record keeping, recording, and possibly affidavits. I'll get into that a little bit more. And then you have to have a motion to adjourn or return to the open meeting with another roll call vote. So, for example, one reason is litigation. So you can have a strategy session to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation. That's probably one of the more common ones. You have to have a recording for that one, but you don't require an affidavit. Personnel, discussion of character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual. That one you actually do not have to have a recording of, but you do have to have an affidavit. So the mayor, and I believe at least one council member, they'd have to fill out an affidavit that this is what was discussed. That does not have to be recorded. It's one of only two that isn't required to be recorded. Property acquisition, strategy session to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property. That one's the other one that I would say is the most common, that one in the litigation. That one is required to be recorded and not requiring an affidavit. And then security, discussion regarding the deployment of security personnel, devices, or systems. That's the other one that does not need to be recorded, but there does need to be an affidavit. That one, I've yet to see that in place in 10 years, but I suppose, if you're going to put up cameras somewhere or something like that, it makes sense why you'd want it to be in a closed meeting. Recordings of closed meetings are protected records under Grandma. They may be later disclosed by court order if challenged. That's the only time that really the public can have access to it is if it's by court order.
So, quick question, that maybe kind of sidetracked your cameras, it kind of makes me think. So we talked about putting cameras like out around our bathrooms. Does that have to be put in a, like if we do that on an agenda, does that have to go to an agenda and let the public know that that's where we're planning on putting cameras?
Where they're being put?
Yes.
No, not the location. Just that you were planning to install some cameras in the general location, like City Hall or wherever, you know, at the...
Like, I didn't know if that'd be specific to the location or something, so...
You would in a closed session, you would need to discuss. That's where you could discuss the specific location. But you don't want to discuss, I mean, it makes sense, right? If you're going to discuss specific location, people can go mess with them, people can alter them, or and it can even show people where there are blind spots. I mean, at the prison, there's a reason why they don't know everywhere where there are cameras, because if they know there's a blind spot, they're going to take advantage of that. So yeah, not the specific location. What is forbidden during a closed meeting? You may not approve an ordinance, resolution, rule, regulation, contract, or appointment. So we just talked about contracts, right? You can discuss those in closed meeting. But you can't approve the contract in closed meeting. So in that instance, you would talk about it, you talk about the terms, all of that kind of stuff. And then once you settled upon the contract amount, or whatever it is, right? We're going to offer so-and-so $250,000 for their piece of property. When you've made that decision, then you need to vote on that. And you would do that out of closed session. So you'd come out of closed session, you'd say, we voted, or we're going to vote to approve the purchase, or putting in an offer of $250,000 for so-and-so's piece of land to expand the industrial park or whatever.
Do you name the person's name that you're buying the property from?
You, in the open session?
Yeah, in the open session.
You can.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
You don't have to, but correct. You can.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
You do have to talk about the amount. If yeah. That's, but that's once the contract's been finalized, right?
So, yeah, once it's finalized, then you can, so you go in the closed session, finalize it basically, then you come out and announce. Then it doesn't matter because it'd be under a signed contract.
Correct. Because what you don't want is people to talk. City's doing this right here. I'm going to buy up all the property around it, and then I'm jacking all the prices up. Or just like speculation and stuff like that. You saw that. One of the reasons why this particular law came about is during UTA and all their expansion, you had people that were scooping up that land left and right, and then they were going, prices were going 3 to 4 times higher than what they otherwise might have. So it ended up costing the state a whole lot of money. So then that's why they put that in here, so that you can discuss those things in closed session, and then once it's finalized.
Yeah, I guess my better question would be, does the seller have the right to request that his name not be legally?
Not once the contract's completely finalized.
Because once the contract's finalized, then it be public. Then it becomes public information.
Correct. So when the county bought that,
you're distributing the money to somebody.
When the county bought that house right by the fairgrounds, because they wanted to expand the parking lot, what they did, we went through all the negotiations with the Van Normans, obviously during closed session and things like that. Once they voted to buy the house for $250,000, it was agreed upon, the contracts were signed, then that contract then became public knowledge.
Public knowledge, okay.
Yeah, but it's not until it's all the way done. Let's see. Other things that are forbidden during a closed meeting is to interview a person to fill an elected position. So if one of you vacated your seat, you go through that process. You can't interview that person in a closed session. You cannot take final action. So all final votes must be open and on the record for everything. You find that the employee's incompetent, you need to get rid of them. All that stuff has to be done on the record. So any final action. Are there any meetings that must be closed? We covered this. The answer to that's no. The decision to close a meeting to the public is always discretionary and never mandatory. The law does not require any meeting to be closed. So now to the record keeping. So records of open meetings, so written minutes, date, time, place, members present and absent, substance of all matters proposed, discussed, or decided, a record of each vote by individual member, name of each person providing comment, information any member requests. So that all has to be in the written minutes. A recording must be kept, audio or video. Information provided by the public must be placed into the record. Records of closed meetings, written minutes, reason for holding the closed meeting, location where the closed meeting was held, the vote by name of each member who voted for or against closing the meeting to the public, the date, time, and place, members present and absent, names of other people present except where disclosure would compromise confidentiality purpose of closing. That's when I went to the, you know, Jeannie gave me permission to, you know, use her as an example, but that's my point. So you don't want the public knowing that you're going to be discussing, you know, so-and-so that may have dementia. You don't want that out there, especially if it turns out they don't have dementia and, you know, that type of stuff. So that's what disclose, so then you wouldn't have to record that.
So on your recording, what's your recommendation? You said on some cases you don't need to record. Would you suggest that you record anyways?
Hold on, sorry. I'm getting a call from an officer telling me to call Wes or something.
I mean, is it, so, general rule of thumb, is it better to record everything or not?
If we're discussing personnel, like character, competency, things of that nature, I would ask the person that's coming in. That's what I would usually do. That's not a requirement, that's just a suggestion. Some may prefer to not have the recording. If you have a recording, it's always more accurate, obviously, yeah, because it picks up everything. And so generally, if they're okay with it, I would recommend doing a recording. And the same thing with the security. I mean, I would trust each of you enough that I wouldn't worry about, you know, the recording getting leaked or things of that nature. So personally, yes, I would. Unless the person coming in on the character, competency, et cetera, felt strongly the other way. I'd probably respect that request. Let's see. So you have to have the affidavit of the chair if the closed meeting is for personnel or security, like we had talked. And then they go through and then they list, you know, all the specific reasons, who was discussed with, things of that nature. But in my opinion, going back to what you asked, it's just as easy for an affidavit to get leaked as it is a recording. And so that's why I would record it. So recording deadlines. Within 3 days of the open meeting, you have to make an audio recording available to the public for listening. You make pending minutes available to the public within a reasonable time. You must identify them, or not must, you should identify them as unapproved. Within 3 days after approving minutes, make the approved minutes available to the public. Now to the enforcement. So enforcement statutorily is left to the county attorney and attorney general. However, because of my position, moonlighting as your city attorney and as the county attorney, typically the attorney general's office is fully aware of it and they're fine with it. I just forward complaints directly to them so that there's no conflict of interest. You know, there has been a complaint here before. I don't even make a decision on it. I simply forward the email or the phone call on to their Othma and grandma attorney and they handle it directly from there. Any party denied a right by the action taken, they can file a complaint. Court may order compliance or enjoin the violation, and the aggrieved party may recover attorney's fees. So for example, say you go into a closed session to discuss a contract, and then, you know, there's a fight whether you should have gone into closed session. Say for the purpose of this hypothetical, you weren't supposed to go in closed session. They got a court order holding that it should be brought out into the open. You were found in violation of OPMA. Then at that point, the city can be forced to pay their attorney's fees. Non-criminal remedies. Voiding a final action. So any final action taken in violation of the open meetings, notice requirements, emergency meeting provisions, or electronic meeting requirements is voidable by a court of competent jurisdiction. So that'd be a district court. Must file a complaint with the court within 90 days of any final action. If the alleged violation involved bonds, notes, or other evidence of indebtedness, the complaint must be filed within 30 days. So if it involves money, Citizen has complaint must be 30 days. Anything else is 90. Sometimes a violation can be cured by discussing and taking a public vote in a subsequent meeting. That's probably the most common remedy, to be honest with you. I fortunately haven't had to deal with that, but it would be if you improperly went into a closed session to discuss disbursement of a federal grant or something of that nature. It's not a traditional contract, can't go to a closed session. What you just have to do is put it back on the agenda, discuss it in a future meeting. The public body may still have to pay litigation costs and attorney's fees in those instances. That's what I said. There's very rare circumstances where I couldn't answer a quick text of, hey, we're thinking of going to closed session, what do you think? The only exception might be at Sonoma Mountain. That's really the only time I can think. To be quite frank and on the record, I'll even answer in the restroom. So I'll send you a text there in the courts. There's very few places you won't be able to reach me. If you intentionally, keyword is intentionally, if somebody can prove that you intentionally violated the Open Meetings Act, there is a criminal penalty. It's a Class B misdemeanor. But that'd have to be pretty blatant. Like I said, it's not recklessly, it's not negligently, it's not accidentally, it's intentionally. For example, they find some text messages. Oh, I really want to discuss this in closed session. I know we can't. That kind of thing, you're probably going to be in a little bit of trouble. So, and then training. The presiding officer of the public body shall ensure that the body receives adequate training on an annual basis. You guys have always been pretty good at that. Never had an issue with it. This is probably your, you've been on this time or two now.
Between this and fire district, it's...
So the most common violations of OPMA, closing a meeting without members of the public body voting first in an open meeting to close the meeting. Conducting a closed meeting for reasons other than those allowed by the statute. Taking official or final action in a closed meeting. Failing to provide proper notice of a public meeting. And then, although not a specific violation of the act, it is a potential due process violation to allow public comment on a pending application where the applicant has not been given prior notice. So if you take public comment on so-and-so wanting to annex into the city and you take public comment without notifying them, that could be a due process violation. Not a OPMA, but we want to avoid that. Again, 24-hour notice, be specific with the agenda items, no old business and new business. Action must be taken on items in closed meetings. Closed meetings only allowed for statutory purposes and follow the process. Prepare and provide minutes in a timely manner. Don't text each other during meetings. If you're going to talk about it in a public meeting, talk about it. I've never really seen, y'all don't strike me as like your time texters. I don't usually see you guys out here coming away on your phone, so I'm not too concerned about that, but just be aware. And then always err on the side of transparency and consult your lawyer if you have a question. You guys are usually pretty good at that, too. So, any other questions?
I got one concerning these two and their voting rights.
No, you can't vote them off. They were elected by the people.
Oh, please.
We discussed it earlier that Paul can't vote on something that he's going to work on. Right? Am I saying it right?
That depends.
How does that work with Lynn? Lynn works for the city every day, all day.
The requirement is disclosure, right? Not necessarily you can't vote on it. There are things that you could particularly vote on if it's under your purview, but it's not a blanket. You could never vote on an issue with regard to, is it the power department?
Public Works.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he can't ever vote on an issue on public works. He couldn't vote to give himself a raise on public works. But he could vote to expend, you know, what you were doing there with regard to the vehicle and back or whatever that thing is, like some giant vacuum, apparently. That kind of stuff. He could vote on that. He can't vote on something that would directly benefit itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I don't see where Paul working on this.
I can understand what Mike was saying, though. Like, we want to extend the water line out in the industrial part, and I usually...
Subcontractor.
I would do the work.
Okay.
I would do the work.
You subcontractor, do you work for the city?
Works for the city.
I worked for the city, but...
But it's an hourly rate, so it's kind of a...
But could I vote on, say, yeah, we got to expand that line, and I'm going to do the work, where I will get a wage from doing that work?
That was a little trickier. Is the, how's the wage set now? Like, is it a set wage? Is it a contracted wage?
It's a set wage.
It's a set wage, and who oversees him on that project? Like, who would, so you don't bill maybe 400 hours in your...
Yeah, the way the last, before this council, they set up at me as over special projects, basically. And so I was overseeing the project, and I mean, I would work with these guys, but...
See, that one's a little iffier, where Councilmember Beasley wouldn't be directly supervising himself. You know, he works with others in the department. I see less issue with that. That one where he doesn't have like a direct supervisor or a site supervisor. For example, if there was some director of special projects, even though that he's getting paid hourly, that he would come there, and that special projects director or supervisor would be supervising, making sure, you know, he's getting paid for the hours that he's working and that kind of stuff. You could restructure special projects and put it under another department if you wanted to.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering if it'd be on the public works or the power department.
And that's...
Well, and you could do that depending on if you're doing water or power.
Yeah, you could structure it that way, and then it would be okay. The issue is that he's his own supervisor. That's the issue. You could restructure it, and it really actually would be an easy fix if you wanted to. You just have to put him, if it's a water project, put him under so-and-so. If it's a power project, put him under so-and-so.
And that almost makes sense to me.
Oh, yeah.
You'll work with him anyway, like you said. I mean,
yeah.
Versus,
and if I just say, then he could vote on that project.
Correct, because then he's not...
Might just save headache now.
Again, it's the same thing that Councilmember Beasley was voting for a raise for himself. That doesn't mean that issue can't be voted on. You all can certainly vote on that.
Yeah, he can't vote for himself.
He just can't, right. So it'd be a similar thing if you moved him under whatever department. It doesn't...
So I don't know how you would reword it.
You'd have to do off of which project he's doing. If it's under Shane, then it would be under the power department if it's a...
Yeah.
Well, or you would... Yeah, probably.
I'm an attorney, but to simplify the whole thing, you just don't have him do the project. You hire a subcontractor, and then he can be on city council and vote and do it all.
And that's certainly be an option.
That's the whole reason I was doing it, because subcontractors are so dang expensive.
Well, you have an ulterior... In thing here, you're either going to be part of the city council or you're...
I could just work under these guys.
It's how the public sees it and how the public sees it is what the problem is.
But you know, the League of City and Towns encourages public works people to run for public office.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. You misunderstand. I'm just saying to simplify the problem, it's easier. You could have full access on city council. You just don't go do that project. We hire a subcontractor. It gets voted on. It could come in just as cheap. You never know. You put it out for bid.
We've been there. We know what a subcontractor...
I know. I've voted on them before.
Yeah. We know what subcontractors cost.
I think we've already handled it. I think all we've got to do is put them in the power department.
Exactly.
It works.
The only thing I know for sure is you could do it as it's currently constituted. You either have to fix it that way.
Well, I'm just half concerned because that's two votes.
Right.
I always thought that's...
Everything would come down to us.
Yeah, it was that way pretty much anyway.
Yeah.
You would want to formalize it though, definitely.
Yeah, right.
See, what I'm concerned about is then if they're going to take them out of anything we do, public or power, these two, then it comes down to us three to vote.
But that, with Councilman Beasley, it's not. That's the only... There are very few circumstances where I think he couldn't vote on, even on his own department.
Yeah, because he's not a supervisor.
Right. So that's... I don't see too many issues popping up with regard to that.
Okay.
The difference is he doesn't have anybody overseeing his hours. And I'm certainly not saying he would, but somebody could be like, yeah, I worked 10 hours and I worked 14 the next day, and because there's nobody to oversee it. Where he couldn't come in and be like, yeah, I worked 14 hours yesterday, and everybody else is, no, he didn't. Because there are people, the whole idea is,
check them out.
I can see that.
Like, I mean, that's just an easy fix, just get rid of the special.
I mean, we do it anyway, we might as well just do it, put it in a format.
Yeah, you want to flare it out?
Yeah, and I don't know if it even, I mean, reality, if you're in power, you work power, if you're on water, you water. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't had a problem.
I don't know if it needs, I mean, what would you, how would you really formalize that, I mean?
It'd be how you would bill it, you want to make sure that each is billed, and the project's being supervised.
If it's a water project, it would be overseen by Coulter, so.
Well, I guess all you'd have to do is just sign it, have a paper that says, I guess, protect you and whoever, just have a paper to say.
Have him sign my title.
I don't know how you do your timesheets now with the other employees.
Yeah, just have, you know, just say.
Supervisor has to sign off.
That's exactly how you do it, you just have him fill out a timesheet, supervisor signs it. That way he's not signing.
It's all about the half of it, you know, doing that overtime and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, and then on this timesheet, we make him say what they're doing that day.
Yeah, I think that's good practice.
So, you know.
That's what I, yeah.
How many feet this, or how many, yeah.
Yeah, that's great, and then that way, you know, that's accessible to the public if somebody wanted to audit that, yeah. And they could see what project they were working on, and they said that they were doing this, but they ran into a lagoon and got an issue.
Okay. Just to clarify, just so Paul understands where I'm coming from, I'm not trying to cause issues here. This was an issue before the election he was talking about, but he's right that the state does encourage everybody to run for office. They don't discourage that. What they do say in there, and they're very detailed about it, is there could be issues that will have to be resolved, just like you're talking about, that can look bad in the public's view. And so because of that, that's how we have to be as open about it as possible. If there's an issue that looks like it's going to look really bad, that could be a sacrifice the city makes, that maybe Paul doesn't dig this ditch. If it is going to look bad, maybe someone else digs the ditch.
Well,
it's just that
simple. And I agree with you.
Or we fix it, like you discussed, by some
obvious.
You talk about the money we're saving.
Well, and the other point is, I think big key is knowing when to switch your hats. Because I mean, same thing, I'm on fire, I do the fire chief.
Yeah, you're the fire chief,
and
you're on
so,
the council.
You know, if it's something serious, I, you know what? And I guess in my past, I should have probably said, you know, some of these other things, hindsight, you should say, well, yeah, I probably shouldn't vote on that.
You can also get a state disclosure form to keep it on file of these issues.
But voting on equipment, I guess, going back to it, I've never voted on a race for myself or anything like that. It's always been equipment or something like that I voted on.
The big thing with the new conflict of interest disclosure laws is disclose. Because that way, if you're voting on a particular issue and a voter, you know, pulls up your conflict of interest disclosure form, then that can be the whole idea behind it, is if enough people are concerned with what you're voting on and how you're voting on, they can vote you out of office if that becomes an issue, right? And so the public ultimately determines whether or not something was there's legal conflict of interest, and then there's a conflict of interest in the public's eye. And even if it's not a legal conflict of interest, if the optics are bad enough, then you may not win another round.
He explained it better than I did.
I'm just pretty confident the public knows how much money we're saving by having him do this.
The public views it is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, and it boils.
How much is out in the open? In my opinion, it's out in the open, and then again, that goes back to that public disclosure. As long as you disclose it out in the public, trying to hide it.
But it also goes back to individual perspective.
It does, too.
I mean, reality, one person to be 100% fine with it, and the other person, no matter what you say or how you explain it, could think that you're trying to cheat the system.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, it's, I mean, that's reality of it, that's how it goes.
That's right.
It does.
There's always gonna be someone that'll disagree with it.
Yeah, you know, no matter what. I mean, it's, I think we do the best we can here at the city, and I think we do good. So, I mean,
I agree.
You know, for what we have and what money we have and what, you know, it'd be nice to have a lot more employees to be able to help out everywhere and do more.
Yes, it would.
Goes back to money and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Money that we've saved out of our department, you know, water, and we've saved a lot of money in this city by.
It's a never ending battle.
Okay.
Anything else, Kevin?
Not for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse.
Email me a copy of that.
No.
That's been hanging out there for a long time.
Well, it's kind of an unknown, I guess. I don't really know for sure.
How can I know? One thing about that.
Biggest thing that disclosure.
Yeah.
Really, that's the big thing.
Well, and it's never, as long as I've been here, they never. That's the newer thing with all the legislative stuff, because I.
When they find out how much money we've saved by.
Yes.
Then the public, the issue goes away.
But just like.
Got that all money dollar all the time.
I didn't realize there was penalties involved with all that. I mean, that's all new to me.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, moving on. Fire department.
Anyway, I gotta go do.
Do you have anything to?
I gotta go do my day job now.
Do you have anything to report?
So, the only thing I have to report is, on roads. I've talked to the finance director at Wasatch Academy, Paul Applegarth, and he's communicated with the headmaster. And they've both agreed to go, they're willing to go half on the roads that abut their properties.
Third south and third west.
That's good.
So, I think what the total they was gonna be willing to contribute is $160,000. Going down third south and third west.
Awesome.
But I thought that was a generous offer.
I bet it is.
Because that allows us to get.
Yeah.
More. Well, it's a win-win for both of them.
Right.
For the school and for the city.
And when we do that, though, we need to put it out in the public.
Yeah. And they still haven't got it approved by the board.
The more transparent we are, the less.
Yeah, they've got to go to the board.
So it hasn't been approved by the board, but it has been approved by the finance director.
If they're willing to take it to the board.
And they have mentioned it to the board, and they're trying to. Anyway, that's the progress I've made with that.
That's awesome.
I'm kind of leaning towards, obviously, working with Wasatch to do third south down to fifth west, and then from third south to May on third west. Total of 8 blocks there.
That'd be good.
And they're willing to cover the cost, I think, on 6 of those 8 blocks.
Yeah. Paul, I talked to Paul a little bit Sunday, and he's concerned about the elevation of third west down by David Bell's and that little stretch.
Yeah, that's so that's a mess down there. It definitely needs
head raised.
We'd have to raise that up.
And then we'd have to talk to Coughlin about that.
Well, seeing they actually did that up there by Minnie Joe's when they did that.
Yeah, they
I
did.
Mean, we used to have that big water hole there. We hauled in a few loads of gravel, and they raised that baby up.
See, I mean, there's still some potholes starting on the sides right now. We're gonna
better watch the sides, huh?
Or who are the contractors?
I hate to say it. What I've noticed in seeing some of it around my house, that's right on the edges. Like I said, I don't know if it's just chip seal because they didn't maybe go all the way with the material, but it's starting to crumble on the edges. It is out there on right on the edges within, you know, 3-4 inches.
Is the road base away from the edge or?
Yeah, there's a lot of that too. So it's
needs to be.
We need to get some more back in there, but I think that helped. But I like I said, I don't know if when they did all that, I don't know if it's chip seal that's just chipping up or if it's the whole product. So
yeah, because what I've seen down on those projects that were done 5-6 years ago, we didn't see anything on the edges.
On the edges.
Yeah. So.
But like I said,
I'm hoping it's.
I didn't notice when they did it, if it was all the way out. When I didn't pay that close attention to that on these ones, but I've noticed a few spots that it's kind of
starting to
tight. You can see the cracks and a little bit of breaks in it, and I don't know if it'll do anything.
Yeah.
We'll have to look. Having some stuff back on the shoulders where the potholes are, I think will make a big difference too. I mean, that's a whole other project.
But it still needs to get approved by the board. Wasatch Academy's still got to approve that, and he's working on them right now, so my proposals, the board passes, agrees to do that, and we go ahead. I recommend we do Third South to, from Maine, Fifth West, and from Third South on Fifth West to Maine. I should say state.
So you're talking this summer?
Yeah.
So we definitely would want to look at getting pipes in the ground though prior to doing those.
Yeah.
For irrigation, if we're going to.
Do they have it engineered that far to?
That's the problem, they haven't got it that far, so.
The other road I really want to do is Fifth East, from Second South to Seventh South. And I think if Wasatch is willing to go half with us on this project, then we'll have enough to do that and Fifth East. It's going to be tight, but.
Hopefully we'll get that little bit of grant.
And then we're going to, obviously we have to get that grant money for Aspen Village, because that's number one priority. We'll have to switch our focus if we don't get that grant money, because we've got to take care of that. But that's kind of where we're at on the roads, and I don't have anything else to report, sorry.
Well, that's good.
Maybe the next meeting.
That's good news.
Thanks, Robbie.
Yeah. If we can get on the agenda, maybe at least have some more, be able to talk about more progress.
You know, if we did 40 feet of pipe on each intersection there, that's only $1,000 bucks per 40 feet. I mean, that's an extra $2,000 to do for pipe. Just didn't sure if we didn't know which side the irrigation was going on. If you just did 40 foot on that side and that side.
Did you sign all the papers?
I mean, you don't want to waste pipe.
He did.
But that would just save the roads down the road too. I don't know.
How much is burrowing now?
Trouble is burrowing that big in our country is pretty tough.
Yeah, boring is.
Kind of dug the rocks and stuff.
Well, down on this end of town, yeah, you can bore some of them, but.
It's very hit and miss.
You get lucky one spot, the next spot you don't.
Next spot you go deep in the way.
If you would invent a machine that would bore through anything, you know, you'd have some.
Millionaire.
We got it, we probably just can't afford it.
Fire department.
Fire's been busy. Yeah, they had another one today, so they had a couple, they went out in Highway Bowing, had one out there that they went on Saturday, and then they had another one in Indianola. And then today's, they had a nail there by Maverick, I don't know what they're doing, so. Kept it just a little area, started with, they were using a blowtorch trying to dry the drywall or something, is my understanding, or something, and they caught the whole outside and it kind of went up into the, underneath, and they contained it right there, kept it there, so. Pretty much, other than that, they've been pretty busy that way. I've got four guys that are going to Ephraim all week doing squad boss, so that's the next step up in their wildland, so. I'm going to give some additional four guys there that'll be pretty beneficial in the city too, so. But other than that, we're still hooking along. I think we've got everything squared back down on the truck. They resent out all our changes. We submitted everything back and all the checks and everything that looks good and everything was back to it. The only thing they added was the state's kind of pushing to do the 800 megahertz radios. So we're going to, I'm just going to add it in. It's just going to be an extra expense that we'll have to pick up as a city as far as the radio itself, but the antenna and all that will get tied in through the truck purchase, so. But they're pretty, I haven't priced them yet, but I heard they're pretty pricey. But what do you do when they're mandating that you're kind of, kind of stuck? I did talk to our sheriff, and he's not going to stick with just one. He'll stick with both systems still, so.
Interesting.
But that's pretty much it for fire.
Okay. Public Works.
We've been staying pretty busy also.
some of the guys that have been working on the rec center, getting that back room cleaned up with Stephanie. There's a back truck, we already talked about that. One thing I need to bring up is our loader lease is coming up in August, and I need to get one locked in or we won't get one. It'll be on next year's budget, but loader leases went up a ton. From the first one we leased down at $8,700 annually, it's 20 grand now.
Yeah, but it's pretty, it's pretty, it's the same thing as a back truck, it's a pretty viable piece of equipment.
And so, I'm still waiting on the quote from Century. The difference between John Deere and Caterpillar was about $15,000. Caterpillar a little bit more, but it doubled the hours we got to use it.
Like if we did with our back one, just outright buy it, bought it.
I can get a price on that from Bruce.
We ought to look at both of them.
Yeah, I mean, look at our options. I mean, honestly, if we're bumping that much money, 20 grand a year, and if it's only 100 grand to buy it or 80 grand to buy what we have.
So they're going for, $170 right now. So on the new one, if we can enter into a new three, and it's only a 3-year lease now, so we're fine if it's over with it. So it's 170 total, and take 60 off of that, that's our buyback price.
It's 110.
Yeah.
So that's really not that bad. I knew it a little ago. Really.
That's what it would cost to buy that John Deere. That's
That's really actually.
Have you checked Case's prices?
Century's still waiting on.
Okay. I would just compare both, really, and see if it's more.
So just out of curiosity, I went and pulled the hours off of our 5-year lease loader that's coming due in August. We're at 1,600 hours. So. That for that extra $15,000, it doesn't make sense to me to go with Caterpillar to double the hours because we're not using the hours in hours.
Yeah, that's not many hours on that.
So the one catch to it is if we go over our hours, it's like $40 an hour.
Right. Yeah, it's expensive if you go over your hours or break stuff or any of that. But
and so this loader we got got banged up a little bit already. I don't know what it's going to cost us to get it fixed when the lease goes back. The spares got bent on it.
What would it cost us just to buy that one?
That's what I'm saying.
That's cool. I'll talk to Bruce and find out.
Yeah, if you did bought that one outright versus.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's already there. The nice thing is it's already there. Everything's there. I mean, if you just.
It's a good little loader, too. It's,
yeah, that's a good loader.
So, I mean, that's what I would suggest is looking at both options before making a decision.
So, and then I've been meeting with Schultzens. They're working with me on a discounted rate on our meters. We still have meter issues. We get down about 100 that's not reading, and then within 2 months we're back up to 100, 140.
Well, they sold up them 4Gs, and they claim how great and wonderful they are. I don't think they're all that great and wonderful.
No, they claim that you should be able to read them from anywhere in town. Yeah. And it's all translates in.
But then when we started buying and putting them in, then it was like, oh, well, you might have this problem or that problem. But right before you buy them, then it was all great and wonderful.
So we're still changing a lot of 3Gs out in the older 3Gs where we're having our issues.
Yeah.
But I'm working with them on getting a discounted rate on. It's a little more work for us, but we buy the register. And we're able to clean the old bodies and put them in. And so, and that's quite a discount if we buy them that way.
Well, dang, Bryce, your brass prices are so expensive. That's your biggest.
Brass has really went up right now. And working with them on our order for our irrigation stuff, it's looking pretty good that we're going to get our order, but some stuff's still probably going to be back ordered way out. What else we got? Fire hydrant parts for that Pleasant View subdivision. They've really had to pull some teeth to get those Klaus parts. They're saying we probably won't be able to get any more after this and that we're going to need to replace hydrants.
This is Mike, and I might have talked to you about it a long time ago, but I think personally we're going to get everything uniform. So whether it's Watrous, whatever, go on to that. So then everything's uniform across the board and just start changing them out.
Because then you ain't trying to find a park, because we have, I think we have everything that they make out there. And so when you're trying to find, you know, Pacifics or Kennedys and.
Especially if you have lots of stuff for that island.
That's the problem, Iowa is, you know, there's, and each one takes a different wrench to fix, and each one has different parts, and by the time you really do that, you're almost, would be almost money ahead, I think, in the long run, if we just started maybe, you know, whichever, like Watrous or whatever, just started, I mean, Watrous right now is our, the ones we have the biggest majority of, due to the fact the 2010 project, that's what came in with the better bid, and we probably have, I don't know, 70% of our hydrants, maybe 80% of our hydrants are Watrous, so. It might make sense, just go with Watrous and just, if we get those versus not finding parts, just change them out.
So I would even like to go a step further than that and say, like, on water services, we use Mueller Park, or, I mean, Ford Park, and that's what we use, so the same thing, everything is standard across the board.
But the only hard part with that is a little different than what hydrants, is when you have problems we've had over the years with different salesmen.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, you'll be really good with Schultz, and then the salesman, you'll never, can't get a hold of him, can't get parts, can't get nothing, and then all of a sudden, Mountain Line gets a really great salesman, comes in and they get different parts, and now you've got a good salesman that's supplying everything. That's the hard part, I think, the difference that way. I do agree, it would be nice on that end.
Just so everything's uniform going in the ground.
And I guess that goes back to this thing, because Schultz's a Kennedy, Mountain Line's Watrous.
I'm getting Watrous through Schultz's too.
Are you now?
Yeah.
So, see, there was some hiccups there before, they wouldn't care, they wouldn't interchange, they were pretty set.
So I'm being able to get Watrous through them from Schultz's right now.
So anyway.
Speaking of fire hydrants, have you looked at the new subdivision to make sure they're the right ones? But the engineers have got the ones you want?
No, I didn't go look at that.
So if we're going that route, it might be worth.
Okay, I'll go look at that.
Get them all the same.
Yeah, it might be worth it, you getting a hydrant, yeah, if that's the case.
Make them all, I mean, you'd make the things uniform, makes it easier for everybody, then you ain't got.
Bringing that up, this is tip, it's like.
The valves, it's the same thing with the valves on the fire hydrants, do you want them right in front of the hydrant, or do you want them off the main?
I want them off the main, like that.
To me, I like them by the fire hydrant, because you know they're there, in the main, they get covered up.
Yeah, they're pros.
They get air.
Probably comfortable.
Have you got to set those plans?
Yeah, they're up, I got them on main though, so I'll look through them tomorrow. And then we had a transmission go out of a truck also, little F-150's transmission started slipping. Cooks are supposed to be getting me a bid on fixing that, and I haven't, I called him again today, and it's, oh yeah, Kevin, I'll call you, started working from Kevin. But I would, as soon as I get that, I'll let you guys know, hopefully it's not much. Get it back up and going.
Is that the old one, that I, really old one that I drove?
No, it's your, the one, your newer one.
Oh, the newer one. Like I say, the old one, I don't even know, you still have it?
Yeah.
It's been going through, it's a simple time it's gone.
So that's when they took the back truck up north, they called me and they said, holy crap, you might need to get a trailer, come get us, because we don't know if we're going to make it home. That's pretty much it, it's still working meters, and I started blading some of the snow back on the sides of the road, where it's really poking out and affecting drainage. So, grader fired right up, good old champ there. I set it on fire, but it's okay. Battery's melted and started to fire, we're good.
The gardener guy got a hold of me yesterday up in Aspen Village, his shop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a meter put in, but that would be a new meter, so it would be a charge to him because he wasn't hooked up to the old system. But
correct.
Before we do the road, so that's okay. Probably want to get him a meter in there.
Okay. Now, would that be hit with an impact fee?
Sure.
It'd be a subdivision impact fee. Well, no, the impact fee's the same. It'd be just a hookup.
Subdivision, yeah. It'd be like 385, whatever, for just a meter subdivision rate. Yeah. But that's a whole new connection.
Yeah.
So it'd be a full connection.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, because it's not pre-plumbed, you have to use every, otherwise the city eats cost on everything on that.
And he'll have to go from the meter into the shop.
Yeah.
provide him a meter.
Okay, I think that's about all I got.
Thanks, Holder.
Yep.
Fire department.
You'll have to be standing up, right?
Moving.
Moving around, well, that's always good. We're still working on the substation down there. I know it's been a while, but we've been waiting for parts. We're hoping by the end of March to have that new transformer up and going and everything. That's our water plant, isn't it? So, we got that, we just wrapped up a few services. We've been changing out some poles. We've been noticing that people that's been building here in town and stuff, we usually, and they doing an underground service, and we look at that pole and look at the age, and we've just been changing that whole pole out and everything, so just so everything new from all the way. So that's been good. We got a big project. We're going to be helping Ephraim out tomorrow, pulling in some new water down for them. And so we're hopefully getting them up here helping us out on the project here soon. So, UAMPS has been interesting, to say the least. It's we've been trying to get this pool project stuff, try to get that all squared away. So, you know, those little municipalities aren't eating the brunt of the cost, you know. Because we can't have the, I don't have the capability of having 24-hour dispatch, you know, buying and selling power and all that stuff. And so, UNS has been great looking out after us littler guys and trying to help us out there when it comes to pool. We did buy some power back this summer from IPP. What their plan is doing, they're going to be, they're having a hard time getting coal for some reason. So what they're going to be doing is shutting it. They're going to start shutting it down in March, just a little bit more, letting the coal reserves build up a little bit, and then they're going to run it hard during the summer. So hopefully it will benefit all of us, Utah participants and California. So that's what they're kind of shooting for, because the prices that come into play were pretty competitive to what we would buy in that pool. And so we had 3,000 kW in that that plant. And so I told them I wanted to buy back a meg, and because we're usually short 500 to 800 kW a day. And so, it looks like we're probably going to at least maybe get, hopefully, anywhere from 500 to 800 in that range. They're still working on the contracts and that stuff, so that'd be good. We got some three-phase services we're quoting out to the industrial park. We got Greg Pines, three-phase. He's looking, Levi Wright, and stuff, and so those are probably going to be coming up here. Just moving around along, trying to get the guys trained. They're going to go down to Blue States training.
Is that Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday. Down to Richfield, going to that. Branson and Kyle and Toby. And so Branson's going to be taking his first year step test in March. He's challenging that. He hasn't been here a year, but he's going to challenge that, and I think he can easily pass that with no problem. So next council meeting, we'll be bringing forth a requisition or to see if we can go out of state travel for the IPSA meetings down in Mesquite. So we look forward to that down there. That's where he'll be testing it down in St. George for his first year STEM test. So,
do we have him under some type of contract that we talked about?
Talking about that, and I've been talking to other utilities about that. Yes, so I'd like to see him at least sign a six-year contract. So we could at least get those extra 2 years out of.
Well, if not, they ought to pay back their schooling.
Yeah.
Because if the city's not even offered to pay for somebody to go somewhere else and just get an education. Because, I mean, what would it cost them to get that degree somewhere else? I mean, if they went out and did it on their own, it's probably, what, $80,000 or more to get a lineman?
I figured by the time the guy journeys out, you're putting $500,000 into that guy. Because you gotta include your journeyman on top of that. His supervision, that he's, because he has to be totally over that guy. And so, yeah, it's a lot of money.
That's what I figured it is.
And so, I'm looking into those two options right now and seeing which one would be best beneficial for the city. And so we'll probably be bringing that up when it comes to start talking about the budget and stuff like that. Because right now we're working on the budget. We're looking at our connection fees as they are. I think we're gonna, our rates, we're doing a rate study right now. We're hoping by the end of about mid-March, I'm hoping to have that. Look at UFS, we've been working with them on that. And I was talking to Mayor about this, and so what we're kind of doing, they're gonna provide us two different plans. They're gonna provide us a plan off billing off just strictly demand on our meters, because now since we've got the AMI, we can do that. Or we can continue to go with the kilowatt hour with the base fee and stuff. So we'll have those two options to look at, and we're gonna see which would be better off for our citizens, the route to go. So.
I know rates are necessary, but I tell you, with everything and all the prices that skyrocket, I hate to see one more added skyrocket, you know?
Yeah.
We're gonna have to do something, because last summer, holy cow.
Yeah.
The rates were outrageous.
Yeah, there's a few answers, you know, we didn't look too good.
Yeah.
So, but I'm hoping we're getting those issues solved, because the problem we was running into is like, you have to buy power out on the market, and you'd come into the pool, and then like some of the bigger utilities, they would come in and they'd buy that power at what you have bought it, but it was under the cost. Then the power went up, and so we end up beating that portion that went up. And so now when UAMP buys it, whatever rate UAMP buys it is what they're going to sell it at. And so that makes sense. And so that's going to be a lot better. And then also anybody, all the utilities that have these gas turbines, what we call MIGs, one meg or bigger, they have to schedule that through UAMPs. Whether to run that, putting that power back into the pool, or whether they're going to be running that into their system. So either way, they have to schedule that, which is really going to help us out too, because that's...
That was affecting the price last year.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of concerns going on right now, especially with now that they're really starting to push these electric vehicles. And then there's money out there ready, you know, and I'm taking a grant class, writing class right now through UAMPS, hoping to go out and get some of these monies, especially like to replace our pen stop line.
Yeah.
That pen stop line up there, I think that's a legit project. You know, one and unit two hydro upgrades, those are legit projects. Transmission line between us and Fairview, going in on that together. So there's a few things, and we're going to be sitting down with UAMP, kind of going through these projects and see which projects are, you know, can we put in for that looks like we can get these monies, because it's out there. We just got to go get it. So, but yeah, that's what we got going on. It's been crazy, which is good. So,
thanks, Shane.
Yeah, thank you.
Council reports, Paul.
Okay, I went out and I measured that. I took the level out and I measured that where we talked about putting the restroom in the cemetery. I shot that from that end down to Ninth South. Couldn't find a manhole, man, when too much snow, but just the ground level, 6 foot difference.
So there's some pretty good slope there.
I go 6 foot back to the north, so I think there's plenty of fall there.
There should be, yeah.
That was just ground, pond ground, so up here you'd have to go down a couple feet, or, you know, get under your footers.
Yeah.
But we didn't find how deep the sewer was, so.
Yeah.
I think you'd have.
I wouldn't imagine it'd be down there away.
6, 7 feet.
Yeah, so you'd probably be all right.
I think it'd be fine, so. And I got thinking about this the other night. I was watching TV and I was Salt Lake, I don't know what community, up north. They was talking about city property irrigation. What do you guys think if we had some kind of a study, what it would cost us, or if there's money available to put desert landscape like City Hall?
I'm not opposed to it. I think I don't mind the zero-scape stuff. I think it actually if it's done right.
Yeah, I think it would set a precedence to the people of the city. You know, we're aware of we're in a drought. Let's do something about it.
I think my first priorities would be behind the store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think but that's.
I've got here at the City Hall, the rec center, behind the stores, even the library.
Yeah. Well, we don't. I don't know if we own anything.
No, I don't know.
I don't think we own it.
That's still kind of a. I don't. That was a mess.
I know me and Coulter's talked about behind the stores because of the water damage to those old buildings and stuff.
And not only that.
We've talked about that. I don't know. Clear back with black, and I tried to get it to go through, but.
And not only that, it's a time to maintain it.
Well, the problem we had is back there is all these sprinklers that. Supposing your city hits and it's hitting the buildings, these people are getting mad because it's deteriorating their buildings. And
I understand you'd have to have drip systems for trees and flowers and shrubs and stuff, but I don't know. I think it'd be something to look into to see if they grant money out there for.
Well, I don't think it would really cost much money to zero.
Probably not.
Mention something about some grant money.
Gravel's kind of quite high, but still it's cheaper than
salt.
Water and mowing and on and on. Spray a little bit.
You're mowing it.
And those guys that they could be doing other things, you know. Anyway, that's something maybe is being on the committee for beautification. I could kind of look into that and see what we can find
for it.
Okay. And what are we going to do with the maintenance on the cemetery this year? Are we going to just have these guys do it, or are we going to get what I seen a couple of years ago? Kim done a good job out there, I thought.
Did an excellent job.
And Kim
Smith.
I never knew his last name, but. He took good care of the mowers. Yeah. He had that little shop out there. He'd clean the mowers every day and really took good care of stuff. And I don't know. I think if you it would take a little pressure off Coulter to have a guy like that and give the part-time guys to him to do the ballparks and the cemetery. And I don't know. That's just something to think about.
Well, it boils down to your right people doing it. For the price we contracted, because when we switched, I mean, our contracting was just, it was, pray what we were paying them was crazy. Our bids were coming in like 60 grand, 50 grand, just for the cemetery, just to haul out and weed eat it. And half the time they were weed eating, we were getting complaints left and right anyway. You know, they were headstones.
Who was it? Tim Smith.
He's the guy that
worked. He's got his own business now.
He'll do it.
I think
it's his business. Yes.
I think it still needs to go through regardless. It still boils down to you're still gonna have that oversight. I mean, it's still gonna keep your public works director in line, but with, like you say, having somebody oversight, it still does help. Yeah. And then just as long as that person can keep reporting back and you know. I still think it's a positive to have our own people take care of it personally.
Oh yeah.
You know.
But, yeah. He was employed by the city part time, you know, summertime.
He does a lot through the rec. And he can only make so much though because of his military retirement or something.
Something like that, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Ex-Marine or something.
Yeah. Yep.
One other thing. Have we, as a city ever, and you'd probably know this, Sam, have you ever looked in the idea of having our own fuel tanks?
Yes, we couldn't. The problem, we wasn't really sure for the size we would need for us and power up there.
Yeah.
We didn't really have anywhere a good spot to put a big enough tank. Was that, I guess,
well, and being that close to the water.
That was the other issue.
That's what I was.
Because there's source protection on that well that's right there.
But don't
we? I think we would be plenty ahead to do that, and not to mention that, then you could always put a generator on it back up to where you pump it, the power's out.
I think
it's positive.
I don't know what we could say. I wish Colter was here. What we could save per gallon.
You can save a lot.
That's what I thought.
You can save significant, because if you're buying it in bulk like that,
Jack was the one that asked me, why don't we have our own fuel?
We looked into it years ago, but like I said, the problem is I really couldn't, I don't know where to put a tank. I mean, you would want at least a 1,000-gallon tank to be able to save any money.
That generator up there that we have, that will go through 100 gallons of fuel just like that. And so if we ever do run it during an outage or something like that, or we do an upgrade and have to shed load or something like that, We'll have to bring another tank in.
Yeah.
Or a tanker. You can rent tanker deals to come in and do it. Yeah. It might be a best.
We've got other property other than up there. I mean, we're running down here anyway to fuel up at the gas stations.
Yeah.
If we had something like that to the cemetery.
That's just a big thing is putting it somewhere secure.
Yeah. Or down to...
Because the problem with the cemetery is you've got a cemetery the well now that has the... Same thing, it's got source protection, and you start getting 55-gallon drums in, depending on the size.
Can we get up through the state out to the new state pump?
We could use their, our cars work out there.
Yeah, they work out there.
Yeah.
Do we save out that?
I don't know.
That's something I probably have.
The problem we've had before is they were having some bad water and fuel issues, and they were using biofuel.
The new setup is a lot better than what they had before.
Yeah, the old setup was, it had been ending for a
while. We had issues.
We quit. there's a reason we went to Maverick.
Yeah.
When you start getting half of your fuel filters full of water and everything else, then you know you got to start shopping elsewhere.
I just think it's worth it.
It is. You know, we run our own fuel down there at County, and I know they save, you know, Bus Garage did it. I mean, you can pick your fuel, which is better. You get better quality fuel too, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and a better price. So just.
So you're thinking just diesel, or are you thinking both?
Probably both.
Yeah, you want to do both. Probably you wouldn't need as big of a gas. I would only say 500 gallons of gas, and maybe.
You'd go 500 gallons.
No, you would.
You wouldn't want them underground.
Because then there's a whole lot more mess of EPA gas that you gotta.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big enough mess that you gotta do.
The EPA's coming in on the surface.
Even the surface ones, there's a headache. But when you go underground, it's even worse.
Guy I work for in Roma has got one, and it's a tank encased in concrete.
Yeah, that's why most of
them do it. It just sits on the ground, and it's fine.
Yeah, as long as you have your containment, most people go above ground because you got that. Yeah, you can do a pour concrete containment.
But I don't think it probably wouldn't be feasible to get both red and clear.
No, I'll just run red.
Because we don't use much red, do we?
I'd run straight red. I'd run your number trucks.
You can't use red.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can use your number one. You're fine. You use your number one diesel. You're fine.
You can't use it on highway.
On that Dodge we got, that service truck, you can't run bridges on it, if they said.
Trust me, you can run it. They run it in the buses, we run it in our brand new Max, and they run just fine.
Oh, they run fine, but it's illegal. You're not paying road tax.
I don't know. I don't know if it's.
Yeah, it's illegal as hell, you know, if you got caught.
I don't know how that goes as far as.
Don't put that in the minutes.
But that depends. But I don't know if that goes private versus public use type stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it varies, so if you're, so I know like, to see, I know like the district has no problem at all using it, because they're I guess public type, kind of a public entity.
They don't pay state taxes.
Well, do they run it with the union and
all that stuff? And they don't pay.
That makes sense, you don't pay road tax.
You don't pay road tax anyway on it, so.
So yeah, just straight road.
So it really, now if I want to put it in my personal truck, yeah, I'd be in a lot of trouble if I got caught, but as far as an actual entity, you can run it.
How much is sales tax on a gallon of gas, 50 cents?
42 cents.
42 cents? That's 42 cents a gallon, you say.
And then buying bulk, you usually get it at a better price than that, so I mean. And I can tell you that the number one's gonna run better than your.
It does.
Rather anyway, it runs just fine, it really does. I mean, because all them newer buses we were running and everything, they have all the newer emissions, all the BS. They run just fine.
That'd be a heck of a savings.
It would be.
Huge.
So, but.
We don't have to pay that anyway on our car, do we?
No, you don't have to pay the sales tax on either.
I think our fuel bill's about getting close to $7,000.
Yeah, I just was looking at it tonight, it's about $7,000, so.
It what used to be four.
Yeah, it keeps going, the more you keep using it.
Yeah.
I mean. If we could find it, if we could really find a good.
Costs so much money.
If we could find a good location, I think would be a really good.
How much room is it gonna take above ground? I mean, I know you gotta build a barrier, right?
Your 1,000 gallon tanks, you're gonna need a little bit of room. Just so you can get your trucks in there, your bigger trucks and your dump trucks.
I wanna buy that property next to the sub down there and put a new shop down there.
You got too many obstacles to build the one side though. The sewer line and the ditch.
Oh yeah, I wanna buy the property to the east.
Yeah, I don't know if we can find that property, or good area. We can keep it.
Let's think about it.
It was Powell's. Dean Powell?
Yeah.
But he passed away and.
Now it's his boys, his kids gone.
Now it's in the, going through the family deal and all that stuff.
I'm done.
Oh, God, he's been watching.
Lynn, what do you have?
Okay, we've got the, finally got that map holder all done out the cemetery, it looks way good. And we also finally got the valve put in at the swimming pool, so now we're good there. For the rec, we're still doing indoor soccer. They're doing the junior jazz tournament and ladies volleyball. They got signups for spring soccer and youth volleyball, so she's been working on that. And then on celebrations, Brittany's going to have a meeting at 15th at 3:30. And then on Youth City Council, just kind of been talking maybe about getting some posters and women trying to find some kids would be interested in doing it, trying to get.
What age do they start at, do you remember? What, was it just high schoolers? Or is it, I can't remember the age. It's high schoolers, right? Is it 9th through 12th, or is it just 12th only?
No, it's.
Is it 9th through 12th?
9th through 12th.
So high school grade, yeah. So, okay.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Russ?
I really don't have anything. I didn't get a chance to talk to Brittany. I know they had the region swim meet up there. They had a region up there a week ago.
It was wonderful.
Huh?
It was awesome.
They said it, everything run just clockwork. She does such a great job.
So gorgeous.
Yeah, she done everything up there with it, so that all run good. I was out, rode around the cemetery today, looking at it. Some headstones need to be straightened up. And I thought maybe when spring broke, we could get some help, maybe some volunteers, and go out there if we have. I don't know what really to use on them, whether you just want to.
I think we could use a swing and use that mini axe.
Well, I think we ought to find out if we're still paying monks to do it. Because they.
Oh.
Because monks is, I thought we were still paying monks to do all that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why isn't he doing it?
It's so much for one, I think it's so much for Dave does.
Okay, sure.
I just care, I mean, if we're paying money out, I just.
I think it's per headstone maybe that.
And they don't, so it's not like, I didn't know if it's like man, or.
No, it's not an annual.
Monthly or.
Not, it's not an annual, it's per headstone.
And so they just haven't been doing.
How does they decide which ones to do?
Well, he's been working on a lot of the old ones this last summer, like the old ones that are.
So he has been.
Yeah. So he sees one out there that's in bad shape, but I mean, there's so many of them, it's like.
Yeah, oh, it's.
Where somebody calls in and says, and then she'll talk to him and ask him what.
So it, you know, it might not be bad though.
Call Sandra.
So it might not be bad in those lines to maybe come up with a master plan and just say, okay, this quarter section gets done this year.
Yeah.
This quarter section, or section it out maybe, I don't know, it's a tough process.
I think, yeah, the materials, we decided we're gonna try to throw some cement or just some gravel or whatever, we'll throw underneath them, that's what I was wondering.
I think obviously just take some road base and the ones that are kept and just.
That's what we've been using, just put road base under them.
Road base under them, so if we got, if you get a half a dozen people, you could leave a lot of headstones if you had somebody operate them.
You know, and the sandstones are touchy, they're pretty hard to deal with, but I have seen a lot of people in some different cemeteries that encase them in a nice cement. They put them all back together nice and then they just kind of cement around them and lay them flat.
You gotta lay them on a tip though, because if the water sits on.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense, so I mean, you'd want to do that, but I mean, once I've seen, actually don't look bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they look, it's better than them sitting there broken.
Right.
But I don't know, I mean, that's.
That's something needs to be done. That needs to be worked out.
Lots of money, you should have got everywhere we go.
I never got up to see coal proof up in the wastewater or anything like that. I went up to see Shane today, but there was nobody around. I don't know whether they was out of town or. I couldn't find anybody up in your area today. I come up to see you. I had my grandkids, I had to babysit because my granddaughters and everything come down and went to Trevin's funeral. And so I had grandbabies, so I didn't get out and make my regular routes on city council day to day. That's all I got.
Sam, what do you got?
Biggest thing I was wanting to bring up kind of was a mechanic, right? Well, the city has huge assets, you know. I mean, public one, our employees, the other, our equipment's a huge asset as well. I really think we need some way to take the load off of public works and just have him strictly mechanic. I really think.
I agree.
Our equipment, I mean, whether it's part-time, full-time, whatever, I think there's enough to keep him busy full-time, in all honesty.
I know we hire Cole Swindell to do our work trucks.
You know, in-house, I mean, what are you paying, you know?
You gotta get them all.
I was telling him, it's what he does, he goes through all this. That he does all the Altech, all of our trucks are Altechs.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Because then he goes, because he's Altech certified, he works for Altech. But then on the side, we just pay them to come and service our trucks. Which has been nice because they've been getting done. Because before we could never, you know, right, like right now, our regular pickup trucks, we just take them to grow with you.
But if we had a full-time guy,
I could
service your trucks and all of.
I can pay you your money ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would
be. Parts wise, everything.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I
think it could.
I think, like I said, I think, and I personally think, you know, we just report back to the mayor, this is my opinion, and then he's kind of separate, and that way there's. I just worry that there's, you know, that.
Getting drug off the
other stuff.
Right there, yeah.
So I think it needs to be strictly mechanical.
Because the other cities, that's what it is. I mean, they're strictly in that mechanic department.
We've got so dang many vehicles and...
There is.
Equipment that I think it's foolish not...
You know, fire, police, all these that have major emergencies, these should be getting prioritized and...
How do you have all those vehicles sitting out there?
Exactly. We've got a lot of money sitting there.
We need to have an auction.
Yes.
Get rid of them.
Exactly.
But I mean, that's, I think we really ought to look at that budget-wise. I don't know. I mean, that's my take on it. I really think we should benefit the city. You know, that way also, we have a, with the iWorks program, we have a fleet management program. So that would allow this mechanic to go in and he can track records of every piece of equipment, everything we have. He can see how much, which ones are being our total crap that's basically a money pit. And he can tell us, hey, this is one that really should be upgraded. This is what we're experiencing with it. You know, he can bring it back to council. I just think it would be a huge, huge thing.
I think we're saving close to $30,000 a year. Because usually, like, when we get our trucks, we used to have Dirt Diversified do all the testing. You know, they had to do that electric testing and all that. And then, but...
Did you get all three of them?
Yeah, but anyways, when they did the testing, they had that Altech to come and fix the stuff anyways. So it's nice to have, they actually have Cole, he's an Altech guy, mobile guy. He comes, he does the testing, all the electric testing, services truck, and fixes anything we need. Like, we had a broken, I don't know if you've seen it the other day, when he was out there dropping those lights off that... the man lift, it was cracked in that corner, so we had to replace the whole bucket.
I've seen that.
And so, yeah.
Well, in those special, ones like that, the need requires special stuff. Those are kind of outside anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as your regular fleet and all your backhoe and all your, you know, all your Mini-X, all that stuff to keep it, you know, keep it, keep it greased.
I totally agree with you if they can just do mechanical.
That's...
All we're running into is that...
That's where I think...
It can't be both.
No, I think it's going to stay separated where it's a straight mechanic and this is what you do. I also feel that he ought to be certified in diesel and that, and he has to have some, you know, if we get somebody, it's going to be somebody that can kind of have a jack of all in a way, because you're going to have to deal with track codes, grader,
hydraulics,
all sorts of different things, you know, dump trucks.
I wouldn't even be opposed to even doing a contract with the...
Stan's diesel?
Yeah, somebody, you know.
He's good. Stan's good mechanic.
The only problem I see with that, because I thought a lot about it, is who takes priority?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If he's already got customers, he's got a job in, if a lease car breaks down, is he going to take the time to say, this is not my priority?
If the cement truck breaks down, then that becomes his priority.
Yeah, you know, that's my only, you know, part of city, because I think, I mean, you know, a lot of, you know, different things. I mean, you get the power, or the public works have been busy, and, you know, just getting batteries. It took us 2 weeks to get batteries for a ladder truck, you know, that's been down for 2 weeks. So, I mean, just these things that are, need to be done, kind of priority high.
We just barely wired up that brand new lift.
You know, so I mean...
Today, so...
I think the city, like I said, that's just my thoughts. I think the benefits would outweigh the
expense.
You know, so...
Yeah.
But, you know, having the police guy be able to service your cars and take care of them, do things for them as well, and, you know. But anyway, that's kind of all I've got in a nutshell. But... I don't know. I think it would probably help you guys out, not having to feel like you're stressed worrying about something broke down, and, you know.
They're signed it up.
Okay, anything else?
No.
Only thing I have is a public hearing. 2 weeks, 6 p.m. We did go after the CIB grant, and it's looking fairly good. We've talked to the state a number of times. When I had Bryce here to look at the well, he made the suggestion. He said, why don't you talk to the other owners? So we did throw in our grant to purchase all the shares in that well. And then we did put in the grant to pipe it back to the cemetery to use it. So that's the way we submitted the grant, with a 50-50 match, 50% grant, 50% loan. And they really liked it because we were asking for all the money in the grant. So we're working on trying to round up the rest of owners on that well. And it's very confusing. Because the names have not been changed for years. So the well was reported on. Or something else. What was it? Guess that's it. I can't remember. Guess that's it.
What did you say that public hearing was on?
The 22nd, so it'll be
no, I mean, what was it on? The CIB?
CIB grant.
For the well, correct? Is that what it was for?
Yeah.
So that's 6.
That's at 6.
So we got a meeting at 4:30?
4:30.
And then
6, and then city council at 6:30. So it'll be a busy, long, busy night.
I better write that down. We're off.
So I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Motion, who seconded it?
I'll second.
Okay, motion by Rust and seconded by Sam to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye. Anybody looking at the amendments and paying any attention to it, they see polls, the one always adjourned.